Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is Steve Arterburn, and joining me today in the studio, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We think it's a great day for New Life. Glad you're with us.
I've struggled with depression my whole life.
I'm hanging in there.
That does not sound good.
I have a problem. I came across some pornography a couple of weeks ago on television, and I watched it.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
It affects them in different ways, but still, it's a bad thing for their hearts and their souls and their mind.
Anyone saying that that family of origin, horrendous sin, is irrelevant to be dealt with is an idiot.
The act of sharing it will take the punch out of it. Keeping it a secret makes it more magical. It goes into the realm of fantasy, and that does set you up. Marriages need to be protected.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live here on Flag Day.
Flag Day.
You know what Flag Day is?
I do.
What is it?
Isn't it a day we celebrate our flag?
We wave our flags proudly.
Is it when you flag somebody down and say, hey? No, it's a Betsy Ross kind of thing where the United States celebrates the adoption of the American flag.
God bless Betsy.
And it's celebrated around the country with parades and memorial services and for those that have died. So it's not a small thing.
It's a big deal.
It's kind of like Memorial Day.
Wags were waving the other night when the announcement of us somehow getting Osama bin Laden. I saw flags out by the droves. People were very proud of our country.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make a political commentary. I'm just saying they were out.
Yeah.
Sense of pride in all those that are out there fighting for us every day.
That's absolutely right.
So it's big. Wave your flag. Take it out if it's not already out. Put it out today.
You know, my flag moment of last year was Sandy Patty was at the stadium there, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, and she sang the Star Spangled Banner, and they had the big flag the size of the field, and the people were holding there waving. And it was just, chills. You need chill moments. And I hope that our younger people somehow have moments where they get chill bumps. I don't know if they do.
I was on a plane, and the flight was delayed. It was a smaller commuter plane. I mean, like 16 people on board.
Right.
They turn off the engines and they go, "We're waiting." And then they said, "Somebody's late." And they said, and the co-pilot shouted back, "Be sure to boo when they get on board." Well, it turned out it was a military person.
Oh.
They didn't know
they
that.
Didn't okay, know, got it. Right?
He turned around and he goes, "Change of directions. Let's applaud this person." And everybody in that plane, when this guy got on the plane, he was having some family problems and he had to come home on emergency. And everybody just the applause didn't stop. It was phenomenal. So it was a great moment.
Cool. All right. Well,
that was one of those feel good moments. You talk about that. It was phenomenal.
Here's the way we like to see Flag Day celebrated here: is that when you're driving down the road, you flag somebody down and say, "Hey, listen to New Life Live. Here they are. Listen to them. They love you. They care about you." Anyway, we're glad you're with us today here on New Life Live. And Sherry Denham is not the author of a thing, but she's gonna...
Do you know I'm having people start to email me that are saying Steve's picking on you? And I said, "I know he is. I'm working on a book right now."
But you are setting you're setting a first here at New Life.
Meaning. Dr. Jill didn't have a book for a while.
No, that's not
okay.
the point.
That
you're
I would stand set, up to Steve?
You're setting an ultimate. That's right. You're
All
standing
right.
up to him. You're
I'm,
also setting
I'm
a
using
first
my voice, Steve. That's going to be in my book.
That for this fall, isn't she doing a New Life Weekend associated with
Wives in the Battle?
Wives in the Battle.
No book attached.
I'm working on it. You didn't know that?
But, I know you're
but
working on
this girl
on it,
knows how to battle, and she's been there. So
she's
you
been
talk
a wife.
About credentials and qualifications.
Right.
Thanks,
Mylon.
He's on my team today.
No, I'm on your team.
It was
you
just
are?
A, I'm it was just a reframe.
Okay.
It was only a reframe.
Right.
That's all
always
it was.
On your team. I think you're brilliant, and I think Mylon's brilliant. Mylon's the author of How We Love and How We Love Our Kids,
which I have both on my desk right by my chair in my private practice.
And the other day I was looking for a copy, couldn't find one.
Come to my office, man. I'm sending them out
All right, we'll be
Sorry,
back.
Sorry, Steve, we're getting out of hand.
We'll get to your calls right after this on New Life Live. Glad you're with us today here on New Life.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. What?
I'm just laughing.
I want to be sure I get the doctor thing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Let's go to the phones and talk with Dan, who listens to us on KKLA, Los Angeles area. Hey, Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing all right today. What's on your mind, heart, and spirit?
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
I'm trying to reconnect with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were separated for 3 years.
Okay.
And we're living together as of about a couple of months ago. We started again. We have a daughter together.
Why did you separate?
It started with the depression. She has depression.
Okay.
And a little bit of issues with the family. When she decided she wanted to leave, there was really no explanation of what was happening. It just said, basically, she didn't love me no more, and she felt like that there was no that I guess our marriage was not meant to be.
Okay, what was your response to her depression? How did you handle that?
I tried to seek for help, but she didn't want it to. She basically said she was going to do it on her own, and she never did. It started, I believe, with the what he called the postpartum depression.
So she had just had a baby then, very shortly before?
Yes. When she left, it was the baby was about 3 months old.
Mm. Wow.
3 or 4 months old.
Wow.
And it got worse. It got worse to the point where right now she's on medication.
Okay.
We're trying to work things out.
What did you mean about family issues?
My family. She believes my family tried to get too involved in our decisions. And at that time, when she told me that, I kind of like went back and realized that that was one of the issues. One of the issues, because I know that there was a couple of them also. I asked for forgiveness because I knew it was. It was something that caused us to draw apart from each other.
Okay, and so how can we help you today? Why are you back together? First of all, what got you back together?
Well, first of all, when we she started, like at the beginning, she didn't want to talk at all.
Yeah.
We had joint custody with the baby, so we would share the baby back and forth. It got to a point where one time she asked me if we could take the baby out together, and that's how we started talking again. And that's when she asked me if we could, I guess she started seeing a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist started telling her that she needed to fix her life. And one of the things is she asked for forgiveness. She texted me, saying that she was sorry for what she did and for leaving, and that she was going to dedicate her life to our daughter. And,
okay. Well, what's the question for us? What's the question for us then today?
Well, I guess at the beginning she said she did it because of the baby. The baby started asking for me more often. And one time the baby even said, you know, I want mommy and daddy to live together. And I think that's what started her towards, like, to try to work things out. Like I said, we're living together. We're trying to work things out. And
okay, Dan. Dan,
I feel like we're not connected.
Dan?
Emotionally.
Dan, I have a couple of thoughts for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as both Steve and Sherry talked about postpartum depression, I want to talk about depression, but from a slightly different angle, and that is that there are a certain grouping of people that are very idealistic when they walk into relationships, and when all of a sudden the relationship hits upon hard times or reality sets in, what happens is they go through a stage where they're very despondent and despairing, and they become depressed. So we ask, what is the source of the depression? And a possibility, that's all I'm saying, is that your wife's expectations, hopes, dreams, and idealizations about being a wife and a mother suddenly were hit with reality, and she didn't know what to do with that. So it would be a total surprise to you to have her walk up to you at the three-month mark of your child's life and say, I'm out of here. But you can almost bet that there was something going on inside of her right there where she was at a very deep state of despondency because what she thought life was going to be suddenly wasn't. So if you walked up here to her and said, look, we didn't know each other well at that time. I didn't know what was going on inside of you. Your original question was, what do I say to my wife? And what my suggestion to you is say, you know what, if we're going to have a relationship, let's build a relationship upon knowing ourselves well and knowing each other well. So if you have any feelings where you're scared, frightened, wishing things were different, I want to know about them today so we can talk about them, create closeness, and we can be conversant about these things. The fact that these hit you as a surprise tells me you guys didn't have that. So that would be my suggestion, that you walk up and say, I'd like to try again, and here's how I want that. Every day I want to know what's going on inside of you, and every day I want you to know what's going on inside of me. We'll also become better parents if we mm-hmm. do that too.
Yeah.
Sherry, Steve?
Yeah, I think you're right on it. Because, Dan, one of the things you just said was that we're not emotionally connected.
Right.
Right.
Do you know that one of the sources of depression is social isolation? It's actually
correct.
Abandonment. Mm-hmm. And so if your wife didn't, I mean, I understand the PTSD and the, I mean, the post-traumatic, no, the
postpartum.
Postpartum. Wrong P.
Post-traumatic postpartum.
Yeah, well, it has been traumatic, yeah. Actually. But the postpartum, that is really real because it's a brain chemistry thing. But like Mylan has already, you know, brought up here is that your wife probably had some issues and a hard time connecting relationally before then. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then she's having a hard time yes. connecting with you, and you're having a hard time connecting with her. So what are you doing right now to build your emotional connection, to build your relationship?
Well, just like what you're saying, trying to see what's going on with her life, asking her questions, how do you feel, how was work, things like that, but
what are you doing on a deeper level? Because that's all like just chat for the day. You guys need to be working on something deeper. How are you pursuing her heart, and how is she pursuing yours?
I'm sorry, can you
yeah, how are you pursuing her heart, and how is she pursuing yours? You know, it's funny, because it took a three-year-old to bring truth into your lives, that I want daddy and mommy to be together. But truth of it is just being together in the same room is not going to heal the intimacy issues.
Right. Well, it's not like I was willing to do all this time. All this two and a half years, I was willing to.
I get it. Things. That was then. This is now. So what are you doing now?
Right. What I'm doing now is I'm kind of like asking her to seek counseling.
This is what you want to tell her. Honey, I want you to go to counseling with me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to come with me, because I hear you putting the problem a lot on her. The problem is going to be healed in the relationship.
Right.
And so instead of saying you need to go to counseling, begin to be more inclusive, which is, honey, let's go see mm-hmm. a counselor together. That bonding.
That's That's what I told her. We need to seek counsel. I don't take it as a problem. As like, you know, the depression is the whole thing. I know I need to help her out also on the sense of the depression thing. So I'm willing to do. I know I have issues too. That's a really.
And you need to figure out the child care piece. When you go to counseling, you have to figure out what's going to happen with the baby while you guys, so that she can't use that as an excuse not to go. Final comments to him. What does he need to do?
I think he needs to aggressively take the leadership to do what we're all saying here.
Yeah.
Find the babysitter. Get the appointment with a couples counselor that's really good in couples counseling. Try and find somebody that specializes in that. Deal with your wife's heart, like Sherry is saying, realizing that there is an emotional and relational starvation this lady has experienced probably for her whole life. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, step into that gap yourself and lean in on those levels, not just, as Sherry was saying, how's your day, but how are you doing inside? And bring your real self into relationship with me. And that's our healing formula we use here at New Life for just about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bonding covers a multitude of hurts.
Yeah. It does.
You know, I'm going to send him your book, How We Love, and just, I think that'll help you guys if you could, will help him.
You know what I've done? I've actually told clients that call out of state, and if they're saying I'm looking for a good therapist, I go, buy this book and take it into your marriage therapist. Ask them to read it and tell them to do the holding therapy. I do that because people like this need that bonding connection.
Sure.
And so it has a great plan for how to do it in there for therapists.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. All right. Okay, 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Let's talk to Sarah from San Diego, California. She listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing okay today. Thank you.
Good. What's going on in your life that we could help you with?
I am calling, and my question is, how do I forgive my husband and his mother? I heard a phone conversation, more than one of them. They did not know that I was listening. And horrible things were being said by both of them about me. And I think the problem comes from a couple of months before their conversation that I heard, I had confided a few things to my mother-in-law concerning my husband and problems we were having in our marriage.
And what were the problems you were having that you told her about?
They're major. My husband is currently having a battle with alcohol,
mm-hmm.
and it was causing problems between the two of us.
Yeah.
And I thought that the best way to handle it was to have a family intervention, and it turned into a posse after me.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm the bad guy, and so he's presented his case before his parents, how horrible I am. And,
mm-hmm.
and it turned into, I knew it, she's the monster, and poor you, and this has gone on for a while. And I really just don't know how to handle it. I can't tell them that I overheard the conversation, because then that just confirms that I'm really a bad guy, because mm-hmm. I was listening on the other end of the phone. But I felt that I needed to listen because I kind of needed to protect myself and know what was going on.
Well,
and
hey,
exactly.
You know what you're dealing with. You know you're dealing with a husband who's so into his addiction and alcoholism that he's abandoned his wife.
And mom's the chief enabler.
Yeah, mom is the chief enabler, codependent person, and it just makes your job of trying to get help for him that much more difficult. So, but you know what you're dealing with. So I think it's kind of fortunate that you were able to hear this, so that you're not kidding yourself about what's the real problem. They're the real problem.
Well, I thought I was fortunate too, but it's really become a major battle for me, because I want to be a good Christian. I want to love everyone. And when I see her, I don't feel love at all.
Well,
it's just the extreme opposite.
And I would challenge you, Sarah. I'm going to take a little different position here. I'm going to say you need to come clean. How can you begin to have a conversation with them without letting them know what you heard? It kind of renders you helpless. It ties your hands.
It does.
And so instead of living fearfully from that position, you just need to walk in boldly and say, hey, this is what I heard, and it's not okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to go get myself some help because I don't want to start feeling crazy that this is my problem. You have an addiction to alcohol and you need to get some help. It's just that simple.
Yeah. Or, you know, he either is an alcoholic or he's a little weenie going to his mother complaining about his wife, man. You know, and I don't know which you'd rather sign up for. I wouldn't want to sign up for either. But you're not crazy. You need to be an Al-Anon.
Al-Anon, exactly, Steve.
And dealing with some other people who have had these kinds of situations develop and more complicated than these situations. But you need counseling for you. You need Al-Anon for you. And I think you ought to have that difficult conversation. They don't even have to be on the same conversation, but maybe with each one individually so that they know that you know what you're dealing with in them. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. I think, Mylon, you had a comment you wanted to make.
Well, I do. You know, with Sarah, she was talking about how do I forgive, and she said, you know, I listened on the other end of the phone while they were talking because I had to protect myself. And when I hear people use language like that, I ask the question, how long have you been in a protection mode? How long have you been? What's the furthest back you can remember having to protect yourself? Mm-hmm. And from what? Also, the fact that she couldn't talk to her husband directly, she had to solicit support from her mother-in-law so that she had a team member before she could, makes me think that Sarah is also, as you began to allude, she's a very fear-based person. Mm-hmm. And so there's not a lot of honesty in this relationship. And honesty, without it, all relationships go south fast and they deteriorate and they create lots of separation. Mm-hmm. So I would say, okay, her husband might be these things you're describing, but what's her part in terms of, well, you know, how protected must she keep herself, and why was she seeking refuge under the wing of a mother-in-law, and all those kinds of things. Those would be questions I would ask, because I think they're germane to her speaking the truth, as you guys were encouraging her to do.
Yeah, really insightful, Mylon. I think people are afraid of the messiness and the pain and the difficulty that comes when you bring truth into the relationship. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that if you will do it, that messiness can and difficulty and pain can turn into deeper bonding and connection. You know what I mean? But if we fear the messiness, we don't go in.
Right. But the fear of messiness is a childhood wound.
Yep.
That for all of us, for many of us, including myself, I never wanted to engage in that. So for many years of my adult life, it felt like Mount Everest that I was climbing. Now, you're you know, beautifully speaking about the how bonding occurs afterwards, but for many of us, that first step of truthfulness is feels like Mount Everest.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you called. I hope that this is helpful to you.
Climb the mountain
and
one step at a time.
We feel for you. We do feel for you. Not easy to deal with. Let's go to Catherine from Chico, California. Catherine, how are you?
Good. How are you all?
Doing
good.
Very well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, first, I want to say, Steve, it's good to hear your voice again. I was at Lose It for Life in January.
Thank you for saying it's good to hear my voice. How has it gone since you were there?
I am excited to report that I have, since I started this whole thing, have lost 30 pounds and 20 since January.
That'll
Woo!
Work. Good for you.
That's huge.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's been a lot of healing and a lot of change in my life, and it's just, oh, it's refreshing.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Exciting.
Well, how can we help you today?
I have a complicated question that I'm just going to ask, and then I'm guarantee you're getting some background.
Okay.
I feel like growing up, I have had 4 to 5 different dads, all the same person, but I guess different personalities in that same person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out how to look at that and see that person as one person and not these 4 distinctly different people.
Okay. Now, you're going to need to explain it like you said you would.
You're saying your dad seemed like 4 different people?
Yeah. So I have the dad of my early childhood, you know, 0 to 5, that I don't remember, but I see in pictures. And he's very involved in our lives, and he's holding me, you know, like in a swimming pool and stuff like that. But I don't have any memories of those. And then I have the dad of, like, late childhood, where I would go to town with him, but there was never any real deep conversation going on there.
Okay.
And then I have the dad of my late teen years, that I never want to know again. He said some really cruel things. And then the dad of now, who is increasingly more manipulative and more controlling.
So
if that makes any sense.
What did he say? Just give us an idea of what he said in your teens. Maybe 1 or 2 things that he say.
He told me I was fat, slow, unattractive. Boys don't like fat girls. God told me to tell you you're fat.
Jeez.
Mm. You should get gastric bypass. Yeah.
So rejecting comments to your beauty, to who you are.
Oh, yeah.
So how cute were you when you were 0 to 5?
I think I'm pretty cute now, but...
Hey, I like your spunk. Way to go, girl. Now, but go back. You see, I'm wondering how much your dad idealized you at the beginning, or you were something that fit within his scope of what he could accept.
Yeah, I don't mean my sister, and both my sister and my brother, who are older, are very fit and very healthy, and my dad himself is overweight.
So how cute were you? My point is, was there...
I guess I was cute.
I mean, were you overweight as a 5-year-old?
No.
Okay.
That didn't happen until my teen years.
Okay. Interesting, the cruelty and the weight went together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is he might be the very same guy, but you've seen 4 manifestations of the same person, which is a person that's emotionally avoidant. And they have a lot of focus on task mastery, appearance, and superficiality, and how well you're doing. And if people are doing great, they're on board. And so when people don't do great, the emotionally avoidant person can get angry and become unkind. So I'm saying I think perhaps it's not 4 dads rolled up into one body. It's you presented 4 sets of questions to him, and you saw different responses based upon where you were in your development.
It sounds to me, along what Mylan is saying, is that it's really more about the longing of your heart to have your dad accept you.
Sure.
And if you could go back in your history and as a little girl remember, did daddy accept me at 0 to 5? What did dad do that let me know that I was okay? And I'm grieved to tell you, I don't think there was much there.
Yeah, I think I've kind of figured that out along the way.
Yeah, painful, painful, painful. That there's more of an empty shell on his part. He's not really in touch with his own heart. It might be more about your longing. and some need to grieve the dad that you aren't having, and a need to find some other men that, kind of like Mylan said, I like your spunk, you know, that just believe in you and see you and love you.
We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. If you're in the Indianapolis area, June 19th, I'm going to be preaching at Heartland Church. That's this weekend. Would love for you to come. That's Father's Day, and the 26th I'll be speaking in Anderson, and then the 30th I'll be on Trinity Broadcasting Network with Henry Cloud, and I don't know who else, but it'll be a fun time.
Cool. Really fun time. What are you going to talk about on Father's Day that's going to be new, unique, different?
Nothing.
No, it's not true. You're a dad on multiple levels.
Come on, what are you going to talk about?
You're a dad, and then you're a bonus dad. You're like dads, two dads wrapped into one.
I'm going to talk about seven things to help create a great kid. Seven things a dad can do.
Wow.
Like, I mean, these are revolutionary. Like, be there, that kind of thing. It's just fabulous material.
Well, I've watched you, and you are very invested into your kids' lives. You know, you sit down, draw pictures with them. You create an atmosphere of what you're saying. So if you're in the Heartland area, come listen to Steve on the 19th and learn how to be a better dad.
Yeah. Number two is draw pictures with them.
All right, Number three is let them crawl in up in your lap.
That's
right?
True.
Yeah. I've seen that happen with
let's
you.
Let's go to Mrs. B from Little Rock, Arkansas. She listens online. Hello, Mrs. B.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Does Mrs. B stand for something? The B?
Yes.
What does it stand for?
I'm not ready. I don't want to give my name because I'm not sure who might be listening.
All right.
Now,
Now
we'll fly under the radar with you.
Now, let me ask you this.
I just want to let you all know that I listen to you all every chance that I get. I'll listen, and I have learned so much from all of you.
Thank you.
And I just want to say thank God for all of the people that you all help all over the world. And one day I'm thinking about becoming a partner.
Well, I hope I hope that we give you advice that's so astounding that today you become a partner.
I hope so. I will.
Okay.
What I'd like to ask you, I had just spoke with a drug counselor over the phone. I was trying to get you, but I got her.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been married for 3 years, and my husband is very abusive with words. He's drug abusive.
He's a drug abuser?
Yeah, he uses and...
What drug? What drug is it?
Well, he uses marijuana, and then he uses alcohol, and mm-hmm. he uses something that I came downstairs one day, and I saw a little, I guess it was like a little straw, which you kind of use to do a drink, but he had used it for some other reason.
Mm-hmm. Like cocaine, snorting yes. cocaine.
Or methamphetamine, yeah. something like that. Okay, so did you know that he did drugs before you got married 3 years ago?
I kind of knew a little about, I knew somewhat about the marijuana, I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't okay. know it was the way it was.
Okay, so, how could we help you now?
He's been so abusive, and then the last conversation we was trying to have, we could never talk about anything. Every time I try to talk to him about anything concerning the marriage or whatever I talk about, it's always the wrong thing or the wrong time or whatever.
Yeah, because he's a drug addict.
Recently, we were trying to have a conversation. We was having dinner, and I started the conversation, and he picked up a knife, and he grabbed the knife, and he told me if I didn't shut up, he was going to cut my throat. And I kind of laughed because I wasn't really sure if he really meant that.
Mm-hmm.
You did what?
Really, she kind of laughed.
You laughed?
Yeah. I said, honey, are you really serious about that? I says, if you don't shut up, he said, I'll cut your throat. And that time I realized that, you know, maybe meant what he said. So I said, well, I'm going to go upstairs and pray. So I started to come upstairs, and then he says, well, I'll put you under it. So I said, well, if you do that, I said, I'll just be with the Lord. And once I got upstairs, I guess it kind of hit me a little bit what he said. And I start to crying, and then I call a minister, so she prayed with me on the phone. And that was the end of that, and we never had the conversation about why would you want to cut my throat.
Okay.
And I don't know where that came from.
All right, what is your question for us then, given that you're married to a drug addict who has threatened to kill you? What's your question?
The counsel told me that I should leave.
Okay.
And you're staying because?
I'm staying, well, I'm kind of here because I don't have any place to go.
Okay.
And I just lost a job last week. And I get a very small amount of money every month, and it's just like, I don't know why I'm staying here. I was going through depression, too, at one time, and I was taking medication.
Mrs. B?
Yes.
Okay, so here's what has to happen first, all right?
Yes.
You have to start looking for resources in your area. Where do people go in your area when they don't have a lot of money, but they need a safe place to stay? So you need to do some research. You call that minister back and ask her. You do whatever you can to find out where is that safe place for women where they can go and be protected from a man who's threatened to kill them. And then you need to go there. But you must not let the fact that you don't have a lot of money be the end of your search or your thought that maybe I need to leave. Or you're going to end up dead. If he takes the wrong drug, if he takes too much of the drug, he combines the drug with something else, he may not have any restraint next time. And jabs maybe at the air, but accidentally cuts your throat. You don't know what's going to happen, so you have to protect yourself.
Yeah, there's a lot of women's shelters,
yeah.
Ms. B, that have women just like you call them every day. And they have other women that are in your same situation. They have a warm bed. They have food for you. They meet your basic needs, and they come for your heart, and they help you to look at why you are staying and what's keeping you in a victim place with him.
I never thought I'd be in a place like this because I've heard of other people being abused like
this. Well, let's just stay focused here. Let's stay focused. on what you're going to do. I know it's tough to accept it. You never thought you'd be here. Mm-hmm. But we're not wanting to talk to you about any of that now. We're wanting to talk to you about what you need to do to protect yourself. What is the best thing for you to do, and what are you willing to do? That's the best help we can give you.
Okay.
You know, Ms. B, I can't but really assume that this isn't the first time somehow, some way this has happened to you before, that somebody has been harmful to you, that, you know, you've been afraid to flee or stand up for yourself or represent yourself. Is it, this can't be the first time, is it? Even as a child, even as an adolescent, it feels like this has been a pattern of yours, perhaps a longer time, like Steve and Sherry are alluding.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
It has been.
Okay, so therefore, part of what Sherry and Steve, the only thing I could add to their excellent comments are that you have to make a decision. It's not just that you're leaving this relationship of 3 years. It's you are changing a lifestyle, and you are not any longer going to be put in this position. You're going to make choices that are wiser. You're not going to be, you know, brought into relationships where you make unwise choices. And you put yourself in situations in harm's way, and then you stay too long. So this is a part of the choice. I want to have a whole lifestyle that's different from this point on. You do not sound like an old person, and you have a lot of years ahead of you, and do I want to make an entire lifestyle change? And a shelter is the first place you could make that statement, protect yourself, and choose to reframe your future.
Yeah, even for you to use your name today was scary. And I think that's good that you've got some fear in you that you don't want him to know. A shelter will protect you. He won't know you're there, and you can get the help you need.
Okay, I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that helps you with that. I want to send you Boundaries, which is really, when you get down to it, it's a book on codependency. Kind of a super book on codependency, and I hope
how to push back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which codependent people don't do.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
So hold on, I'll get that to you. 1-800 New Life. That's the number to call when you need some help. Don't wait until somebody puts a knife to your throat and threatens to kill you.
That's scary. Scary stuff. It's like, get out. You know, it's interesting with people say, well, I went and prayed, and I'm like, run.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then pray, right? You know,
In Acts 14, when Paul learned that his life was in imminent danger, he ran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, first thing, get out, get safe.
All right. You're listening to New Life Live. NewLife.com is our website. You can go there for help. You can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE for help. All that is there. We'll take a break and come back for the final segment.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Our final caller in this segment is Lisa from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But if you're on the line, hold on. We've got other programs to do today. Lisa, welcome to New
Hi.
Life. Hi there.
Hi there.
What's happening in your life?
What's that? What's happening in my
life?
Yeah,
yeah. What's going on?
Well, I have a grandson who's 9 years old that I haven't seen since he was four because my son passed away. He was killed in an accident in 2006. And they have not let us see him, basically.
Because?
I'm not sure, because I can't even get an answer as to why, you know, why. Because they don't answer phone calls and they don't answer letters.
What makes sense to you that that would be the reason that they'd say, okay, well, since the son died, we can't let her see the grandson?
Well, that's tough. I think about that a lot. See, my son had a drug and alcohol problem. And when James was born, she lived with us, and the baby lived with us for about 3 months, and it was a really bad situation, and I had to send her home.
The grandchild lived with you?
Yeah, for about 3 months.
And the mom and her son. They all lived together with you.
Okay.
Right, right. And I myself had just had, I was 40 and just had a baby myself, and they would fight, and they would get us up at 3 or 4 in the morning fighting, and I decided that I needed to send her home to her mother. And, of course, my son, he didn't stay with me. He decided to go live with his girlfriend and her mother.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't last very long. She ended up seeing other people. She got pregnant with somebody else's kid. My son's drug addiction got worse.
So Lisa,
yeah.
that gives us a good background. That really what you have is you have, you know, some very dysfunctional people, your son included, and he married a woman who, in post, you know, as we look backwards in retrospect, she didn't have great choices and lifestyle choices either. And so you were bonded to the little boy, you know, he's there for 3 months, and then you send her home, which I could see why that might be necessary to do. But I'm concerned. You said you've tried to make contact with her or she hasn't responded. What has happened here? And what about calling her parents and trying to, you know, go do an end run in terms of calling her parents and seeing what the real deal is?
I have talked to her mother.
And?
Her mother offered to let me see James behind her back.
Okay.
At her house, and I didn't think that was a good idea.
Okay. Well, because James can talk now, you see. and he can, he's 9 years old. He can say, hey, I saw Lisa, Grandma. So I would just say, look, you're dealing with a gal here that has, she's made a lot of unwise choices. She's not the healthiest lady in the world, so we can't suspect that all her choices are going to be great. I would recommend a legal route for you because there is such a thing as grandparents' rights, and you were a part of that child's life. You have a right to be a part as the paternal grandparent, and I think you really need to look at your legal options, go to a grandparents' rights, grandparents' advocate group, and try to do it. And I would certainly want to do it in such a way that I agree. To try and see it, the child behind the mother's back only puts the child in a very uncomfortable place.
Yeah, and continues to break trust with the mom. I mean, she's the mother of James is angry, you know, and she hasn't resolved that. But I it's funny that you said the grandparents' rights. My mind was thinking the same thing. Mylan gave you your next step. You're going to need some help. And legally, there's rights, like he said. There you go.
Sorry that this has happened to you. And
now the good news.
What's the good news?
Well, the good news is we don't know how stable mom is to this day.
Yeah,
odds are she hasn't, boom, just snapped right out of it. So maybe Lisa and her husband may be, you know, a stable force in this child's life. And the older he gets from 9 to 18, which is 9 short years, he has a choice as to how much influence he wants to give Lisa in his life. And she may be a great influence and a stable factor in that child's life. So fight for the child by trying to enter into his life.
Yeah.
Okay. The resource we want to send her is?
Ooh, I would also say How We Love would be a very good place to understand how bonding takes place and to how to repair that bonding and the cycle of comfort.
Okay. We Love Our Kids.
And How We Love, I forget.
Yeah,
I,
your new
I
book,
How We
book.
Love
Our
How
Kids.
How We Love Our Kids. There
she
we go.
She can be loving up on
that
her
be,
little guy.
That would be the...
James.
Here it comes, How We Love Our Kids. I hope that that will be a blessing to you. We can also send Boundaries with Teens as a preparation for the future to come. We're just about out of time, and I want to ask you to do something. You know, we got through April and May, and here we are in June, and we need some people to sign up for Club New Life. It's our giving program where monthly we just automatically get a gift from you. And when you join, we send you a Bible and say thank you with a Bible like the New Life Life Recovery Bible or the Every Man's Bible. We also send you a CD that I do just for you every single month, and we bring you up to date on what's going on. We play some calls that you might not have heard, and we have a teaching session on that particular Club New Life CD. And then you become part of our online community. We would love for you to join Club New Life. It is the foundation of our giving program here. You can't give too small or too much. It really does help. And then if you have been blessed in some way, please ask God, is this a ministry that you would want to support? We can't promise you a Cadillac, or we can't promise you that we can send you a prayer cloth that will heal your shoulder. Whatever it is that you do, the benefit comes from the fact that you're supporting a ministry that helps other people. And then God does tend to reward people who have a generous spirit. And it doesn't mean that you get rich or famous, but God does reward those who have a generous heart. And so we pray that for you. If you need some help, the number to call is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are people standing by. The support that you support us with goes to help us pay for those people that are there waiting for phone calls, waiting to help people, find a counselor for them, a resource, or tell them about Wives in the Battle that Sherry's doing coming up, or the New Life Weekend that's coming up in July. All of those things are there, and we tell you about those. Or you can go online at newlife.com. That's our website. We hope that you can support us. Hope that we can help you. You can help us. That's our number one goal here. Mylan, why don't you share scripture as we close out the program today?
Well, it goes back to what I was saying on the show from Acts 14. I was very impressed in reading my devotionals. Just that Paul, when he found out that he was in imminent danger, a threat of being physically threatened, he chose to leave town and to go to another area. And so it just says that they, when they learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding areas. So they were going to be attacked and stoned, mm-hmm. and they decided to leave. A lot of people get mixed up on this. They think that they're always supposed to turn the other cheek, or the right thing to do is stay at home and just pray. That's a very dangerous position. Yeah. I don't think, Jesus even got out of the way of people trying to harm and hurt him until it was time for him to go to the cross. We mustn't mistake the cross for a lifestyle.
Mm. Amen. Yeah. All right. Hope that's
good
helpful
point.
To you. Thanks for joining us today. Remember, if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com, and those are the same places to go if you can help us. See you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.